When will the cake be served? I like cake. You know, as Christians, we have a lot of rights and privileges. I remember when I rededicated my life to Jesus back when I was in my 20s that, you know, there was this new revelation, or at least it was new to me, that God loves us, that He cares about us, that He blesses us, and that He's active in the world today. And it was just such a new way of thinking about God, and it changed my life. You know, as Christians, we have lots of rights and privileges. We have a lot of blessings and promises that belong to us as of children of God. You know, we walk in all of those by faith. But just because they belong to us does not mean that right now is the time to take advantage of them. It's not the time for their manifestation, necessarily, just because they belong to us. You know, if you're saved, if you're a believer, your destiny is set. Victory and reward, they belong to you. They're yours. And so in light of that, knowing that our situation has already been solved, that, you know, our place has already been established, in light of that, our core purpose, you know, in this life is not to nurse ourselves along, making sure that we get everything that belongs to us in this life. Our purpose is to minister to the lost. And that means your reward will be delayed. And because we trust Jesus, that should be okay. You know, sometimes we need to set aside our advantage to serve a greater purpose. And sometimes setting aside our rights is the only means that we have to love others. Just because I have a right to be rich financially does not mean that I should be at this very moment, or even in this lifetime, for that matter. Jesus being the example. You know, maybe it would be better for me to help others than to have all my carnal nature wants and pleasures that I desire. Sometimes you need to give up your advantage, is what I'm saying, to bring advantage to someone else. Sometimes there's a cause that's greater than just what's going on in our own personal lives. You know, a martyr knows this. I mean, ask Stephen. You know, he was a martyr that lost his life in the early days of the church simply because he spoke the truth. Where was his financial freedom? You know, where was all the blessings that were supposed to belong to him when his whole life was cut off? Just because you're not walking as a king on earth today does not mean that you're not a king. It may be because God is working a greater purpose. Any advantage or promise from God that is not, that you're not walking in today, that's going to be made right. That score is going to be even. You are not going to be shorted out of anything God wants for you. Everything that you give up in this time will be squared. No child of God is ever going to be cheated from the tiniest little bit of God's promise to you. And so that's where our confidence comes from. Not that we're receiving everything that we hope for today, but that because we have this promise that we're going to receive everything that we hope for and beyond our imaginations. The truth is that, you know, a lot of Christians today, they're lukewarm. That doesn't mean that there aren't plenty of sincere Christians who are on fire for God, but there's a lot of lukewarm Christians out there. And as Christians, we should be concerned. You know, if we're lukewarm ourselves, you know, we should be concerned about that. But the Christians that are maintaining their first love, let me tell you something, they're okay. They may not be receiving everything that they want today. They may not be walking in the manifestation of every promise of God. But trust me, they are okay. They're not in danger. They're not the ones that are in trouble. But those that are lukewarm, they're the ones that are in trouble, and they need to be shaken, and we should be concerned about them receiving what they need. And they need to be given the chance to wake up before it's too late. There are those who are being called by God. I bet every Christian knows someone that needs to come home to Jesus. That needs to answer the call of God on their lives, and we pray for them, we're concerned about them. Not just relatives, but friends, all sorts of people that we're concerned about. And so we should want them to have a chance, or we should want something to be there to wake them up. There are those who are being called by God, but they're putting Him off today. You know, God's speaking to their hearts, but for some reason, they're just not ready to make that change, to make Him the Lord of their life. They're not ready to give up their lives. They need a wake-up call. And if the good news will not wake them up, maybe some bad news will. Many times in our life, it's bad news, hardships, failures that cause us to stop and to reevaluate our lives and how we're living and all those kinds of things. That doesn't just happen before you come to Christ. That happens all the time. And so in any case, you know, if the lost, if the lukewarm, if they are woken, that's good news. You know, if there is some part of your heart that needs to wake up, you know, and bad news helps you to get there, then that's good news. Even if waking up, you know, the lost brings suffering to those who are doing right, that's okay. And because the ones that are doing all right, they're safe. Our heart ought to be for those that aren't safe. You know, a lot of Christians are already awake. Yet they suffer like those who need to be woken up. And so because of that, they need to have understanding. So that they don't think that God has abandoned them. Or that they're being punished. Or that for some reason they have failed. They need to know that even if their blessings seem to be on pause in this time that we live in, they're okay. Jesus has their back. And so, you know, we're called on to never leave to lose our confidence. Christians living right need to know what their proper response should be during the world when it's shaken. They need to know that they should keep doing right. They need to know that they should stand steadfast. The proper response is to be patient in long suffering. God is doing a work in the world that sometimes we don't recognize when we're in the midst of suffering. Go with me to Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of Him who is holy and true. He holds the key of David. What He opens, no one can shut. And what He shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Okay, so there are seven churches. The Spirit speaking to the seven churches, seven situations, you know, in that day that describe, you know, positions of the heart. And this is the only church that was actually commended or giving encouragement. Where all the other six, they all were given a rebuke or given a corrective action that they needed to take. And so here's this one church. That they're doing all the things they can right, and they're actually being commended for what they're doing. Yet it says they have little strength. Some of the churches seem to be flush with money, but they're being rebuked. Yet here is a church that is holding true, but they have little strength. Why? If doing everything right is the key to success, by that I mean strength, finances, you know, being number one, why is this commended church the weak church? You would think they would be the strong church, the most prosperous church, the church that is flourishing. I want to go on to verse 9. He says, I will make those who are the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that you have loved that I have loved you, since you have kept my command to endure patiently. I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. You know, the red carpet of carnal success was not rolled out to the believers in Philadelphia. Life has been tough for them. They're not walking in all the promises that have been given to them. They're not manifested before them. But they're hanging in there. But I'm going to tell you something. The red carpet that counts is going to be rolled out. And they're going to be used mightily by God. God is going to display His strength through their weakness. God has a plan. And then they are going to be kept from the hour of trial that is coming. And so maybe sometimes when you're living right and you're doing the things as a Christian you're supposed to, you would like to be encouraged with some success in this life. But if that's not happening, you know, if conditions are robbing you and cheating you, let me tell you something. The day is going to come when the red carpet's going to roll out from you, and you're going to be happy when that time comes. A lot happier than you're ever going to be receiving the things and blessings in this life. When they were pressed, they were found to be true. Not everybody, when they are pressed, are found to be true. Sometimes when I am pressed, the best stuff doesn't come out of me. You know, when the others were pressed, their fault lines were exposed. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that before. That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to have your fault lines exposed if you're going to take corrective action and humble yourselves. And so for those in the world that are having their fault lines exposed through the pressure that's being put on us today, that's not necessarily bad. Only if they are going to stiffen their neck, then it's a bad thing. If they humble themselves, their hardship, that becomes a blessing. They should be happy that they were able to find out some truth about themselves. Verse 11 says this, I'm coming soon. Soon. I know we've been looking at this and we've been thinking about this. I mean, we've been waiting 2,000 years. It talks about, you know, that people are going to say that he's not coming, or maybe they'll decide that he's, you know, I mean, who knows, all that kind of stuff they talk about. But there's only one way that I know how to interpret this scripture. That when he says he's coming soon, he's saying that to me. That he's saying that to you. Jesus speaks to seven churches. Six need some shaking. This one is doing all that they can. Yet they have little strength. You would think they would be the strongest, most vibrant of all the churches. But they're not. Because in the world, even in God's churches, the advantage goes to those that need a kick. Before judgment comes on the world, God is going to do a little house cleaning. You know, God is not going to let us be destroyed with the world. He's going to give us every chance to wake up, to come to our senses, to humble ourselves. And you know, if the good news preached to you doesn't work, well then you're going to get a chance through some shaking. And so if we find ourselves being shook, if we find that we're losing our confidence, you know, if we find that we're beginning to doubt, that's evidence that we need some adjustment in our lives. We need to respond affirmatively to that knowledge. Not start accusing God of being unfair. Not coming up with some other gospel. But you also need to know this. Living right means you will need to be patient in your sufferings in the times that we live in. If you think doing things right will lead you to striking gold while sinners strike out, you're going to be surprised. You're going to be confused while you live in the world when things don't work that way. When you look out in the world and you see the sinners gathering up all the gold, when you have the promises and the blessings of God given to you, and where's your gold? And you're going to be confused. I've been talking about pulling up our stakes as Christians out of the world for a long time. I've been talking about separating our hearts from the prospects of a worldly treasure for a long time. I didn't just start talking this way when this current pandemic came along. I've been saying for a long time that we need to stop looking here in the world for the good life, and we need to start looking towards heaven. And every year, my plea has only become a little more urgent. And, if I have a two-year assignment in a foreign land, foreign country, at which time, when that 2 years passes, I will leave and come back home, leaving everything there behind. I'm not going to invest all my hopes and dreams there. While there, I might live in a super nice house. I don't know. But I'm not going to attach myself to it, knowing that at the end of my time there, that I'm going to leave it all behind. That doesn't mean I want to live out in the freezing cold under a bridge for 24 months. But if that's my mission, if that's what's called for, then I'll endure it. Because at the end of that 24 months, I get to go home. I'm not going to act like my future depends on the investments I make while in a temporary country. God bless us while we continue to serve Jesus on earth. But this is not our home. And it's going to be destroyed. And so we have a mission to complete before that happens. And that's what counts. And that mission is not to get ourselves all situated in this place. Imagine that you're on an ocean beach. I see in Florida, they opened them back up. Boy, people are getting out there. Sometimes I wish I lived in Florida. I got a sister that lives in Florida, but I'm not jealous. You know, the skies are clear and the ocean's calm. It's a beautiful day. The birds are chirping. But then a little wind begins to come up and the sea begins to shimmer. And that's okay because it was a little hot anyway and now it's feeling pretty nice. The wind begins to grow and some more and the waves begin to come ashore. I'm probably not too alarmed. In fact, you might decide to grab a board and go out and ride some waves. But with each passing hour and every passing day, if the wind increases and the waves grow, at some point you would recognize that a storm is coming. And continuing your picnic would not be a wise choice. And getting frustrated and crying over the fact that you're not going to get to have your picnic because a storm is coming, that would not be a wise choice. The pandemic that we are in is not the storm. It's only a wave. And it will pass. But a storm is brewing. So if you have been living a carnal life, and as if only the things that happening here are what count, But the pandemic has caused you to rethink things. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I feel, you know, that it's imperative that I talk about these things now, because right now, in the midst of a pandemic, people are more apt to listen. Because when the wave is gone, and things are good, and everybody's at the picnic on the beach, and you're standing out there trying to preach, it's not always as a desirable of a message. Just be careful not to go back to living a vain life as soon as this wave is gone. Live accordingly. And that's what I preach. Do not live like you're going to keep what you get. Find a good church where you can commit to. You need to be under spiritual covering, a spiritual covering that a church family provides. I think Abundant Life Family Church is an excellent church to belong to. I believe it provides an excellent spiritual covering. But if you don't think so, then find one you can trust. Here's what you should look for. In 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, Peter's speaking to the elders in the church, to the leadership of the church. He says, "To the elder of the church among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherd of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." You need to judge for yourself the leadership of the church that you call home. I can't say that I'm the best example, but I do try to exemplify love. And I am always examining my heart for fear, because I realize that fear bends you. And once you get into fear, that's when the manipulation starts. That's when you start wanting to shear the sheep so that you can be taken care of yourself. That's when you start asking, "What about me?" And instead of having a concern about what about the sheep. And so I watch over those things, you know, all the time. I'm human. But I'm conscious of the fact that those kinds of things can make you into someone who is not really the kind of shepherd that God wants. And so you need to make sure the kind of person you're setting under is someone that loves you. I can't be a good shepherd if I'm full of fear, and no other man can either. While Jonah and I are very satisfied with how we have been provided for, we love our life. I do not think that we have lived excessively. I know that people see that differently, but I don't think that we've been shearing the sheep for our own profit. I don't think we've ever exhibited that characteristic. I hope not. I think we could have demanded more. But at the same time that I say that, we could have lived on a lot less. So I feel blessed that God let me have a place to serve that was as easy as it's been. But this verse promises me that anything that we gave up, if we did, in our service to Christ, Jesus will make up. And that's true for all of us. I do not measure my life by my possessions. I measure it by the rewards that are waiting for me after this life is over. When Jesus comes back, He's going to square everything up, and that's what I'm interested in. And we should all have that attitude. If God calls you here, I think you would be well served to listen. I don't want the sheep from another pen. I'm not a rustler. But I do want every sheep that belongs here. If the sheep God wants me to care for is in another pen, then I want them to come home. Though I'm happy they're being cared for. Sometimes we get probably a sheep here from somebody else's pen, and I always endeavor to love them and minister to them, and I pray that when the time comes they go home if they need to. And right now, though, I know a lot of sheep are out there. They're not listening to the call of God in their life. And so I pray for them. I know it's God who assigns his sheep to a pen. It's good enough for me, as far as I'm concerned, to serve the ones that he puts under my care. I don't need to concern myself with someone else's sheep. Please listen to me. I do not want you to be destroyed. I don't want to be destroyed. We must submit ourselves to one another. We must sincerely love each other. Or the times that we face, they're just going to devour us. More waves are coming. And I'm going to tell you what the inoculation is. It's the love that we have for one another. More waves are coming. We need to be preparing. My job is to prepare you. And not like the world prepares. You know, we are not going to build a survival colony. We need to prepare. We need to be to prepare by strengthening the bonds of love between us. That's how we prepare. At first, people were caught off guard by this current pandemic, because humanity didn't seem to have an answer for it. But now humanity is finally getting their act together, and with all of our natural abilities, we're beginning to bear some fruit against the coronavirus. And so it's gonna appear like we dodged the bullet this time. The mistake will be thinking that we saved ourselves with our human ingenuity. But I'm going to tell you something. With each new wave that comes along, our abilities will bear less fruit. A survival colony will not save us. Faith in Jesus will be the only thing that saves. And that's why I see you need to come under the spiritual protection of the body of Christ that it offers. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to read from verse 6 through 11. It says, "Humble yourselves." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Don't let your neck get stiff and insist on being lifted up in your own timing. "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, he himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Verse 11. "To him be the power." To him be the power. "Forever and ever. Amen." You know, the current situation is not fair to those who are living right. Jesus died on the cross to spare us from such things. But now he asks us to trust him. For a little while, we will not be able to see naturally our salvation. Do not let yourself give up. Cast your anxiety on him. If you're concerned, if it looks like you're going to be swallowed up, If it looks like the blessings of God are not going to be true in your life and you're anxious or frightened, cast that on Him. Trust Him because He cares for you. Because He is your only hope. Don't stiffen your neck. Do not double down on chasing the things of this world. Do not cast away your confidence in Jesus and put all your trust in humanity. Don't shake your fist at God. Humble yourself. It's okay if things don't work out the way that you hoped. I hope that that isn't new news to you, but it's okay. In fact, it's better it did not work out. Trust Jesus, okay? He will lift you up. And He will reward you. He knows the exact time to bring all things to completion. You don't know. You may think you know, but you don't know. He knows. And so He's doing this work in the earth. He's shaking this tree. He's calling the lost home, the lukewarm. And so in the midst of that, we have to like put our blessings on hold. But it's okay. We need to let go and ride along wherever the Spirit takes us. We need to fulfill our purpose of being witnesses to the world. Suffering and injustice will not last a long time. He's coming soon. It's hard for us as Christians to be saved. I mean, I think sometimes we become Christians and we think everything's just going to be smooth after that. It's hard. Man, our doubts and our unbelief and our fears and all the stuff that gets in our way, our desires, and man, there's a lot of interference. And then all the things people say and do and the injustice and the unfairness, and just, it's hard to stay positive and to live the good life. Aren't you glad you're not a sinner? I mean, if it's hard for us and we only have a little strength left, how hard is it going to be for them? What's going to become of them? 1 Peter 4:19. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. There's the answer. If things aren't working out, you're going through some junk, and you're not really happy with the current situation, and you're wondering whether your life is ever going to recover and all those kinds of things, here's the answer. So then those who are suffering according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Now there is suffering outside of God's will. And it's when you suffer for doing wrong. It's when you suffer for walking in doubt and unbelief. There's suffering that's not God's will. But there is also suffering according to God's will. And it's the suffering that we go through while God makes a show in front of sinners. He asks us just to stand in our place, just stay there, stay faithful, keep believing, and let me deal with these sinners. And that's our suffering. It's just to have our blessings and rewards put on pause while He deals with the world. We have been invited to a celebration by Jesus, and there's supposed to be cake and punch. There are supposed to be gifts given to us. And some of us have danced in the aisles because of the prospects of God's goodness. He's going to give us some cake and good things. But the rioters outside, right now, they need to be taken care of. And so Jesus asks us to be patient for a moment while He goes out and He quiets the rioters who are messing with our party. And so we're only being asked to take a chill pill while He goes out to deal with the rebellious. You know, He doesn't want us to get into rebellion inside here while He's dealing with the world. We're waiting for Him to finish His task of making a show to the world so that He can return and we can receive His intended goodness. We can receive all the cake that He planned for us and all the punch and all the gifts and all the good stuff. There is a salvation that is being preached, and it's where you get to have a castle on a hill filled with servants to take care of your every need. Cake's going to be served, and you're going to live happily ever after. The only thing that I have to say about that is, on earth, people are servants, not angels. And so I don't know who all these servants are going to be. You and I are supposed to be servants. The other version says that we will be servants to bandits living in our houses while we live on earth. We're like sheep lined up for slaughter. But the joke is on those who reign today. Their castles will fall, and everything they have built with our sweat will disappear, and eternal dwellings will appear. And we will be the masters of those dwellings. And we will be served by thousands upon thousands of angels. And we'll receive all the cake that was due us. Every slice. Not one bit of frosting missing. But until those eternal dwellings appear, until the testing of humanity is completed, all of the sheep that have come in, we're asked to be patient. That's all. Just be patient. This is going to be fixed. Be patient. Two different gospels. You know, if a storm is not coming, the first one will be true. Maybe mankind will be able to control their destiny and build their Tower of Babel with God's blessings. I mean, if that's the promise that Jesus has given us, then the first version is true. I just want you to be able to recognize the difference between the messages. But if a storm is coming, see, forget about which message you like, which one your flesh likes, or which one you can understand. Which one is true? See, if a storm is coming and this current creation is going to be rolled up to be replaced with a new creation, then the second version is true. The first version says, cake now, go eat, drink, and be happy. The second version says, cake purchased, but be patient until it's served. The cake you see others eating today is not cake at all. I believe the first version is designed for those that love this life. I believe the second version is for those who love Jesus and put their trust in Him. I mean, that's what I believe. And every believer has to choose themselves what they believe to be true. So I encourage you to study the Word. Final proof, which is true, will be the storm. Final proof will be Jesus coming back. If Jesus is already here, there won't be a storm. And He won't be coming back because He's already here. If there's no storm and Jesus is already here, the first version is true. But if that storm comes, the second version is true. To me, you have to be blind not to see a storm coming. I preach the second version, the version that includes the storm. While saints wait patiently for the finishing of their salvation, the coming of Christ, to be served their cake. I hope that you find that encouraging, to know that Jesus is coming to bring every single reward, to make up for every tear, every time you have been cheated, harassed, every time the devil has touched you or taken something from you, every time your heart has been disheartened or discouraged, Jesus is coming back to right all of that. And it's going to be a glorious day. A glorious, glorious day. And us that have been true to God, who have put our trust in Him, instead of being frightened by everything that's in the world, are going to be vindicated. We're going to be so happy. I do believe that storms and more waves will come. We'll get through this one, and a lot of people will go back to the beach. But I believe that there'll be more storms and worse ones. And with each wave coming that gets bigger, validates what we say. And hopefully, as that time comes, we'll be on record, and people will know to come to God. Come get under the protection, the spiritual blessing that He wants you to have. It doesn't just come from me; it comes from the body of Christ, from fellow believers. Comes from the sincere love that we have for one another. Father God, I thank You for every listener out there. Lord, that they would be encouraged. Father, that they would begin to cut the umbilical cord to the world, and they would begin to draw blood from heaven. Father, thank You so much for the promises that You've given to us. If there's someone out there that has not given their heart to Jesus, I want to pray with you today. You need two things. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for your sins, that He rose to heaven on the third day, and that He's seated in heaven at the right hand of God making intercession for you. He's doing everything that He can to show you that He loves you and He wants you to come home. And so if you're ready to do that today, we're going to give you that opportunity. And if you're one of those out there that has been lukewarm and you need to make a choice, if there's things that are in the way of your affections for God, you need to separate yourselves from them and put your affection back on Jesus. If you're ready to do that today, we're going to pray for that. All of us have something in our life, some part of us that we need to do business with to be closer to Jesus. Praise God for His grace, His mercy. He's not mad at anyone. But He wants to give us every opportunity, to have the hope that belongs to us, to be encouraged, to have the strength that we need, to stay faithful no matter how weak we feel, that we would just simply make the decision to trust Him. It's not His fault that we put our trust in all these other things or that we looked to all these other things. It's a mistake. We should have always been trusting Him before we ever pursued all those other things. But it's never too late for us to love Jesus more, to know Him more. And I believe in this hour, in this time, that He's calling His people. And I believe they're going to respond. We're going to be back together soon. Maybe one good thing out of this is maybe from now on we'll always be out there for people to listen to at any hour of the day. If you hear this, I'd love to hear from you. Drop a comment, to encourage us in the work that we do. I love you so much. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You, Lord. Father, if we have not put our faith in You to serve You, if we have not made You the Lord of our life right now, Lord, I confess that I believe that You're the Son of God, that You died and rose on the third day, that You're now seated in heaven making intercession for me. Lord, not only do I believe that You're the Son of God, but I confess You right now to be the Lord of my life. Lord, help me to come off the throne of my life and to let You reign in my heart. Take root in me right now, that my life might be forever changed. Lord, if I'm lukewarm, Lord, if I have rooms in my home that I've not turned over to you, if I've been stiff-necked, if I've resisted you, if I have let fear dominate my life, bend me, I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Lord, I love you. I want to come home. Bring me home to your sheep pen that I might be a part of your body. Renew in me strength and hope at this very moment. To the God that loves me, thank you so much. Father, I thank you for every believer that's out there. Lord, whether they're a pastor or whatever job they have in the church, a Sunday school teacher, Lord, if they've just been faithful to come to be a part of the body, Lord, that you would just encourage them right now to realize that they are the victor. They're the ones with the blessings of God upon their life. They're the ones that should be hopeful. Thank you that you have kept us in this hour, in this time. Maybe we shook, but we weren't destroyed. Thank you for coming to our hearts to rescue us, to speak to us, to demonstrate your love. And we give you praise for today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you so much. Thank you so much for being a part of my life, for listening today.